Bloody Mary Podcast.
Welcome to the Bloody Married Podcast, where we talk about all things horror while drinking a Bloody Mary. I'm Jesse.
And I'm Tammy, and we are totally married. We got our Bloody Marys, and tonight we are reviewing Scream 7 with our special guest, Sean Springer.
Woo!
Did it.
Yeah. We'll be doing spoiler-free review, and then after that, we'll jump into spoiler talk. So don't worry about spoilers. When we get into it, we'll let you know. And let's do plugs. Website, www.bloodymarypodcast.com. Go there. You can find the Amazon wish list and some merch.
Yep. Some cool shit.
Yeah.
Then also, please don't forget to like, share, and subscribe.
And hit that bell to get the notifications.
Yeah.
Hit that bell to get the notifications. Follow me on socials, Jesse James Hennessy. I'm somewhere, JJH Productions, Instagram, and Facebook.
And I'm at HB Sanitarium for my art.
Nice. Yeah. So.
Are you going to say mine?
Yeah.
I'm at Slothberg for Instagram. That's where I'm most active.
All right.
Yeah.
Slothberg on Instagram. Yeah, I guess before we get into everything, Sean saw this movie yesterday.
Yeah, I saw it last night for the like Thursday night screenings.
And so you've had a day to sit on it.
Mm-hmm.
We're fresh out of the theater and haven't even talked with each other about it.
Nope.
And also, Sean did see it a second time, which would you like to explain yourself?
Before we get into the podcast.
Well, no, explain your experience. Explain your experience seeing the movie.
Okay, well, let me set the scene. We walk into the theater and we look up and there's a dude in a ghost face costume just chilling in the back. And we're like, oh, that's cool.
Which isn't abnormal for Scream films.
No.
Like, sure, yeah, they're there all the time.
We're like, oh, that's cool. And we sit down and we watch the movie and we enjoy it. And then it's over and we get up and then... We hear someone talking. There's a ghost face right behind us.
We hear Jesse.
We hear Jesse.
Hello, Jesse. And there's ghost face standing right in front of me with a phone... And I had to like split second wonder who it could be. And I was like, Sean? And then he
unmasked himself.
So
my experience was, I was just sad I didn't get to see it with you guys because the last two movies we got to see it together.
Right.
Yeah.
So when Jesse told me, oh, I'm going to see it on Friday, and he told me the time, I was just like, oh, I'm free. And then I was like, so I'll just leave it open if I want to see it again. Saw it last night. And then I was like, oh, I'll see it again. It'd be really fun. And in the back of my head, I was like, I'll just put on a ghost face mask and I'll sit behind them the whole time and watch the movie with them and get to watch them watch it. So I do it. I go into the theater. They tell me I can't wear a mask, which makes sense. I buy popcorn. As I'm buying popcorn, I see you guys come in. And then I go to the very back of the theater, so it's extra creepy because I really want you guys to be like, why is that guy sitting in the way back, like all alone?
And we're like, really like, that's cool.
I do have to admit, the thought did cross my mind of like, I get stabbed from this guy.
Oh, totally. Yeah.
Yeah, I was ready to punch you, FYI.
And then, no, like in the middle of watching the movie. Sneak up
well,
and stab
and him? I was worried. So once the movie started, I took my mask off. And one thing you notice is the ushers check the theater every so often. So like I assumed they were looking and like making sure the dude in the ghost face mask didn't actually have the mask on. Plus I was eating my popcorn. But then as the credits roll, I sneak down to the row behind you and I sit there because I want you guys to turn around all of a sudden ghost face there.
I didn't notice.
Yeah. So I'm sitting there like with the credits and then you guys stand up and I'm like, well, here's my move. And I'm thinking like throughout the movie, I'm thinking like a dozen things I could say and everything. And I'm even thinking like, I just like jump on Jesse and like, just whatever, right?
That's awesome.
Essentially like I just go, hello, Jesse. And my perspective is you don't even hear me. So you guys just got up and just kept walking and I stand up and I'm like, what's your favorite scary movie? And that's when you stop and you like are looking at my phone because I wanted to record it
for
the podcast or whatever. And it just felt like 5 minutes went by before you said anything. I'm sure it was like
it was a couple seconds. Yeah.
But to me, it was just like, you're like, and then I'm like, wait. Are these the wrong people? Because I have a ghost face mask on, and the theater lights are still down because the credits are still going. So, yeah. So that was my experience of it.
That's fun. That was a good time.
It was a good time.
Yeah, that was awesome. Well, yeah. Scream 7. We've done some predictions and everything, and I guess we'll just get into basics of what did you guys think in general? Did you love it? Was it okay? Did it suck? And we can start with our guests first. Just one word. Like.
Just one word?
Just one word?
Yeah, like, yeah. Let's go around, like...
Just one word? Lavender.
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 No, I loved it. That's three words. I loved it.
I also liked it.
Liked it.
I liked it a lot.
You didn't love it.
I what liked the hell, it a Jessica, lot.
What the hell, Tammy? I came all the way here. Yeah.
What did you think?
I liked it. Yeah, I liked it.
Yeah.
Spoiler-free stuff. What can we get into that spoiler-free?
I will say the second viewing changed some key things for me.
Mm-hmm.
In both a good way, and mostly good, but in a bad way. Mostly good things changed. God, what am I even trying to say? This is the worst. So I would say good things got better. Bad things became a little more clear.
Mm-hmm.
And then some flaws became more apparent flaws. That's what I'm trying to say. Edit that first part out.
Gotcha. We'll keep it in.
We'll keep it in.
I also think this is going to be, I think for the immediate future, this is going to be a controversial one for many reasons.
Yes.
But I think it's going to get better with time. Seeing it again already made it better to me. And I walked out of the first screening saying, I want to see this again right away. Like, I wanted to rewatch the series right away. So I'm a sucker for Scream movies. I have not hated one yet. So maybe I'm biased, but I do feel like now I stayed away from all reviews. I tried to stay away from all headlines.
Yeah.
But now, since last night, I went through and I read a bunch of headlines. I feel like it. I don't think this spoils anything for everybody, but every review I've read has been very weighted towards Melissa Barrera's firing.
Mm.
They all say, well, you know, once Melissa Barrera got fired, we had to like pivot to this other story, and now Sydney's back. But that's the same thing they did when Neve Campbell,
you know, didn't appear in Scream 6 and because of a pay dispute.
Right.
So that's like all the reviews are weighted there. The other thing that's so apparent is like so many reviews are also like, well, Paramount, which is owned by David Ellison, who just is trying to like acquire Warner Brothers. I'm like, why are all these reviews like mentioning this?
Yeah, they should just talk about the film.
Yeah. So that's the thing I've noticed about reviews. I feel like they're very weighted. But having said that, I think there's some stuff in this film that is ringing a little controversial for some fans. So
I can see this one as being a divisive one. I haven't looked at any reviews yet, but there's a lot. I was surprised by there's more comedy and levity than I was expecting from the actors and the actresses. I thought the action and stunt work was really good.
It's like it's brutal, and it's like it just does not stop. This movie is one long chase scene.
Really, yeah,
in a lot of ways. Like
What worked for you in this? Without spoiling things.
Gosh. It's always fun to see Sydney. I really enjoy Sydney Prescott.
Mm.
And,
Sydney Prescott? Who's
that? Excuse me, Sydney Evans.
Oh, yes. Yeah, the main
Sydney
character.
Sydney Evans. Owner of a coffee shop.
And I was... I don't know what to say without spoiling things.
Well, we can start with the saying what the film is. It's Sydney, and she's married, and her daughter's there in a different town, and killings start happening again.
That's true, yeah.
That's kind of the movie, right?
Yeah. I will say that it's the first Scream movie to break kind of the basic point-by-point narrative that the other Scream films have had.
Very much so.
There was something in the middle that was like, oh, What are we doing now?
Yeah. I mean, there's things 20 minutes in that change things kind of drastically story-wise.
Yeah.
And I mean, some of it's stuff that we talked about, like wish list things.
Mm.
As far as like, you know, within the first like 40 minutes, there's two big turns that happen that just even just narratively of they've never like deviated from this.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, the film again, don't listen to any of this if you want to go in completely clean. But but yeah, it's like the story goes a couple of different places in it, and it kind of just becomes like after there's an initial kind of incident, like it becomes just one long chase scene.
Yeah.
With one break.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I think I'm trying to think of things that didn't work for me, and maybe it's, I don't know if I
can I say the obvious, and this might be a spoiler. Really don't. It's not really a spoiler,
okay.
But I would just say, in my opinion, it's probably the worst Ghostface reveal in the franchise.
That's
my opinion.
That was my thought, and also I didn't understand a motivation, and maybe on a second watch it would be clear.
I got the motivation, and all last night I was like, man, the story and the reveal and the motivation, it seemed like good on paper but not in execution. And I'll get into this in spoilers, but watching it a second time, it was totally entertaining.
Yeah.
But having said that, I think it's still it'll go down history as the worst Ghostface. The worst Ghostface. In my opinion.
I was entertained through the whole thing.
Super entertaining the whole time. I love the kills. I loved all the kills. I thought those were super fun.
Yeah.
Like
there's some creative really creative kills one. And what was it like Matthew Lillard said in like for Scream 6, it was some quote he said where he thought it was too brutal. And seeing this, I'm like, well, this might be the most brutal of them.
It's way more
brutal. It's way more brutal.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's relentless. And I mean, it's like one. It goes and it goes.
Yeah, no, the kills and the action sequences were just stellar, I think.
They were.
Yeah, for sure. Thoughts on where it fits in the franchise with you guys? Like, if you were right now a blind ranking, where are you putting it?
Yeah. When I walked out of the theater last night, the thing I said to my wife was, I think it's my third favorite Scream movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And then watching it again, I think it's I don't know whether it's third or fourth. It's kind of like dealer's choice, but, and it's also kind of fresh and fun.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, but just the more I think about it, the more I'm like, I think this might be like top three.
Huh. Yeah.
Okay. I would say 3 or 4.
Yeah. I think somewhere.
Depending.
Yeah, somewhere in the middle for me.
I'm going to have to I just rewatched
this.
I just rewatched
this
them.
This one really does demand another watch.
It does.
Yeah. more than anything.
Like, I can't
More than the others.
I really can't say. I need to watch it one more time. I really do.
I do have to say that they do a lot of great fan service if you love the franchise, even with even with like tropes of like who lives, who dies.
Yeah. I mean, just sequences and callbacks. Like, there's visual callbacks. There's a montage callback.
Especially from the first one.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is maybe a light spoiler, but there's where the town has a curfew.
Yeah.
And that's, like, the montage we got from Scream where the town had a curfew.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I don't think that's a major spoiler.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah, I really, I need to rewatch it. I remember seeing when we went to see the fifth one and we were like, we have to go see it again just because you wanted to see it again.
Yeah.
But now I'm like, it's not the same as that. It's like, I want to see it again because I feel like I would appreciate it more if I saw it again.
Yeah, yeah. I am proud of myself that I did get well, we'll get into spoilers.
Yeah.
I'm good for that.
He's proud of himself.
I'm proud of myself.
You should be proud.
The ending. What did you guys think of just the ending in general?
I think there's a really, well, I mean, if you're talking about the ending, I think there's a great character moment between two characters.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think the movie itself kind of has sets off on this theme that pays off well in the end. And if you're talking about kind of like the final action or chase scenes, it's maybe not the best. It's kind of the way I feel about Scream 2, where I said, I think everything about the film's excellent until maybe just details about the last kind of fight scene.
Mm.
But it still works for me. Like, again, like this movie was like, I think it's just intense. I think it just never lets down.
Agreed.
No,
yeah.
Like never slows down.
Yeah, mm-hmm. There's a lot of fun stuff in the ending aside from maybe a couple things we can talk about. I mean, I think the core of the story is the daughter and the mother, right?
Yeah.
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 I was entertained.
And also trauma.
Yeah.
And how that, you know, the sins of your mother, the taking on the trauma mama yeah. stuff.
Well, I think that's been like a theme.
The
head,
yeah. But it doesn't hit you over the theme with it, which
that's
I like.
The theme through like all of them for the most part, right? I think her trauma, because in Scream 1, she was traumatized from the very beginning because of what happened to her mother.
Yeah. Right, and it just compounds, and then she's passing that on to her daughter.
And generally, what did you guys think of like all the performances from most of the cast?
I think they had a really good cast. I think the key to these movies that Wes Craven always kind of created was like having the fun young characters, really kind of like spending some time with them. And this movie, you get that. I think you get this great amount of like spending time with Sydney's daughter's friends, the relationship between Sydney and her husband. I think that's all like good. I really liked them. I was sad to see several of them die.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I don't think this is a spoiler, but, Mindy and Chad come back.
Yeah.
And they're hilarious.
They are so funny.
They're hilarious. Yeah. Like
they're the best.
I want leaving this film. I want the Gale Weathers movie. I think the movie could perfectly set up like Gale, just an all Gale Weathers Scream story.
You think
I mean,
so?
Like they won't do that.
No,
Sydney will still have to be in it, but it'll be like if they could do a mostly Gale Weathers story, because I want to know what's going on in her life. But
right.
I think you should do a Mindy and Chad spinoff. Or
yeah, because they're all
if they survive.
Light spoiler: they're all working together.
Yeah, now,
which that's fun.
That is fun.
Yeah, yeah. Well, what do you guys rate it out of 10 Bloody Marys before we get into spoilers? Unless there's more things we want to talk about in this non-spoiler-ish realm. Yeah.
My heart wants to give it 10 out of 10, but I should give it a 9 out of 10. I'm a sucker. I'm easy. I'm too easy on these movies.
I love Scream movies, too. You go ahead. Me?
Yeah.
Ooh, okay. Now, this can change and probably will over time. 7.
Still solid.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think I'm going to go in the middle and go with 8 because I do enjoy the kills.
Easy. We're too easy.
I know, it's all so
these,
Scream.
All these people are throwing their popcorn out the screen saying, you guys are just chills for David Zaslav or for David Ellison or whoever it is. Yeah.
So you're on the higher end, you're in the middle, and I'm on the lower end of how
I'm a sucker for some good kills, and there's some great kills in this.
Yeah.
There's some really great ones.
Cool. Well, let's get into spoilers then.
All right.
Okay, guys, if you haven't seen Scream 7, go watch it, come back, and we'll jump into spoilers.
Yep.
Right off the bat, I guess the killers again.
You got, well, did you get both or?
Well, there's
the one. You got,
there's,
I
don't there's
I got
three.
One.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
There's no way we could have got the one.
No way we could have got Carl.
Carl.
Yeah. So I got Ethan and Anna.
Oh, did you say Anna? Okay,
I think
I said Anna and Asa, which was her son.
And you said McKenna Grace.
I think I said McKenna Grace and Ethan.
And Ethan, okay. Ethan was such a. It's like when you look at the casting, it's like, well, it's gonna be Ethan Embry. He can play both.
The second he shows up on, it wasn't the second. The second he showed up on screen, I was like, okay, maybe he's a red herring. But the second he was like, yeah, I'll open the door for you. I'll show you this. I was like, okay.
Yeah.
I don't know if I knew he was like going to be a killer, but I definitely was like, okay, this isn't just a red herring like the drama teacher was.
Right.
Because the drama teacher, they definitely kind of gave him those little sneers that he gives to the people, and he's like hiding in the background, stuff like that. So I definitely thought there was more, but I don't know even just based off his first scene, because he's only in one scene.
Right.
Before that. I don't know if based on that one scene, I would have like really assumed he was the killer.
Yeah.
A killer.
I could not understand, and maybe you guys can help me, her motivation for killing. And was it she was inspired by Sydney to kill her husband and then went insane and went into the insane asylum where Sydney lives so she could get out, be her next-door neighbor, and make her daughter the new final girl? It's so convoluted.
You're right. It's convoluted. But to me, it felt a lot like the reveal in 5. Because I remember we did the podcast right after 5, and we were all there just kind of like, wait, so what was Richie saying about being a fan? So it kind of felt similar to that, like... It was like good on paper, like, but like and watching it a second time, I felt like they earned it more. But I think her whole thing was, and Mindy introduces this, the killer isn't a fan of stab movies. The killer is a fan of Sydney.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
So Anna Camp essentially was inspired by Sydney to turn her life around. She was in an abusive relationship, and then she saw that Sydney was a killer, so she killed her husband because Sydney inspired her, and then she wanted to essentially be Sydney, because Sydney's the final girl, the girl who always is there, who's always there to save the day and kill people. And then Sydney disappears
when murders, yeah.
So it's really kind of an FU to not having Sydney in Scream 6.
Okay.
So they're basically just saying this is a fan of Sydney who went mad because she wasn't in Scream 6.
Yeah.
And then she's essentially taking it out on Sydney because of it. It is convoluted, yeah. Yes. But she essentially, when she goes to the insane asylum, she ends up, hooking up with Carl and whatever the other dude's
did
name
we
was.
Even give him did he even have a name
he did I don't remember
yeah. Ethan Embry.
yeah were you confused with it, or did you get her motive?
I can see where it's convoluted. I got it, yeah. But it was still that's it, where you went. I guess it, when I'm I don't know, because it is she's a fan of Sydney, but it doesn't tie it all anything yeah. all.
Well, the best Scream reveals, that's why I think it's the worst Scream reveal and maybe motivation, even though I think I understood it more. And watching it a second time, it's really funny. I don't know if you guys realized how funny they are, because they're bickering.
Yeah, yeah. No, and that was funny.
I didn't clue in on that maybe the first time, but she's hilarious.
She's
the first time I watched it, I was actually kind of annoyed by her, in the same way that I was annoyed with Debbie Salt in
Scream 2. Oh, yeah, yeah.
But watching it again, I was cackling out loud because how silly it is. So I'm wondering if you watch it again, one, if it'll make more sense, but two, also if it'll be more enjoyable. But I think if you can't, the best Scream reveals are if you can say it in a sentence.
Yes.
I think it makes more sense, and I think this Scream 7, Scream 5, and probably Scream 2 I think are the most convoluted, and I think you really can't quite spit it out.
I mean, it's really simple. The first one is how about this? It's your mother fucked my father, and that's why my mother walked out and abandoned me.
Oh, no, totally.
That's one sentence, and you get that.
And then three is, I'm the brother you never had. Your mother ruined my life.
Yeah.
I'm gonna kill you.
And
Scream four is... I just want to be you, yeah.
I was disappointed that Ethan Embry didn't get to fight. Once the mask comes off, it's poof, right in the head.
That was kind of funny, though.
It was funny.
It was, because she basically was in charge. She's okay, just sit down and shut up.
Your thing I was kind of laughing at is, he's, trying to, interject and say things. And they have the whole thing where they're just well, AI was my idea.
Yeah.
He's no, I made you think it was.
There
was
a scene where, Ethan Embry has his mask off, and then there's the other one coming. I really, in that moment, wanted it to be Stu.
Well,
that moment, I was those two, their faces together would have been great. Okay.
Yeah.
What did you think? So before the Stu reveal, you see Carl for a split second. Did
at
you
the
think
coffee
that
shop.
Was Matthew Lillard?
No.
No, I didn't.
The dude they have in that shot, I wouldn't be surprised if they said it's Matthew Lillard in makeup.
Oh, really?
When he grabs his coffee and they're Carl, and the dude just walks up real quick into frame.
Not at all. Yeah.
I totally thought it was Matthew Lillard.
That's wild. I'll have to pay attention to that with the next watch.
But then what did you think the second she opens the FaceTime call and it's Stu? What did you think?
I thought I liked his performance, and I really wanted it to be real. I didn't want it to be AI.
To be real, but I knew it was going to be AI.
Yeah, that's the thing too.
Just because they set it up from the whole they wouldn't made it that easy.
Had they not announced Rowan being back and Dewey being back,
yeah,
I think it would have been different.
Well, yeah, because throughout the whole movie, you're like, okay, I know these people are cast.
Yeah.
So we're running out of time. And of course, there's, I predicted that kind of a sequence where they're all talking.
Talking to her.
I did maybe not in our predictions, but right, while I was watching the movie, I'm like, okay, this is how they're going to show
up. Private predictions that you have.
Yeah, private ones. No, I don't think any of us predicted did Debbie Salt was going to.
I think we joked and said like, well, will Mickey and Debbie show up?
Yeah. The AI thing, it was really great to see Matthew Lillard with the scars and doing it, because that was him.
Yeah.
It wasn't AI when they actually shot it. Yeah. In the movie, it is. I was, after watching it, you know, because we've talked about what do we think about if he returns, if we'd like it or not, and I wanted it. I really wanted it this time. I was like, okay, I feel like it would be fun if they just say it's him, and then it's him.
Yeah. Well, that was my hope, like, introduce it in the first 20 minutes, and then it's like, it's just game on, and that's kind of what they did. Granted, they started talking about AI right away, but I just love that it was like, yep, he's out here, it's Stu.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, as soon as when the car pulls up, and in the beginning, and they're like, no, it was Stu Mocker was reported at a college party.
Oh, yeah.
And then I was like, oh yeah, it's not going to be him. It actually him.
Oh, yeah.
I just, because they're like, they started planning like all the myth of like, the lore.
They talked about Stu a lot throughout.
Fan theories that are out in the universe for Scream. And I just was like, okay, it's not going to be him. I really would love it.
So here's the thing. When they went to look to see, so the records were gone from his burial or from the mortuary?
From the morgue.
Did they say they got rid of those, or was that just something in the air that was never?
They said they called the morgue. The person who had done his paperwork died 3 years ago. And then they say, well, so it's either the paperwork's lost,
or he's alive.
The paperwork got destroyed, or he's alive.
Well, I meant, did these killers say they destroyed the paperwork at any point?
No.
Okay, so he could still be out there.
I think the next one should be your thing of Stu's back for real and he needs his redemption.
Yeah, maybe this is just a test to see what people think about him returning.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe.
Wow, it could be.
I mean, people want him back all the time. I literally want more Stu and more
Gale. I mean, it was fun having him there, and even if it was AI, it was fun. It was fun when his face popped up on the screen and he got the scars, and it was like, oh my gosh, that's so cool. I wish it was going to be him, but.
Yeah. So I guess I'm glad that even though these were AI characters, it was cool to see them just back in the movies, even for a brief second, like Debbie Salt, Dewey, all those people. Yeah.
It was too brief.
Yeah.
But I get that they were really trying to keep the Stu thing going until the very end.
Yeah. Because you couldn't have the second call be Dewey. Then it's like, okay, it's AI.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. Yeah.
It breaks. So let's talk about the things that they did unscream-like.
Oh, yeah.
None of the kids were killers.
Oh, and every single kid died.
And every kid died.
Yeah.
That was cool.
That's never happened. It's always been at least one student.
Even
if it was an adult, unless aside from Roman, at least one student.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and after the first killing, this is what I love about this movie. After the first killing, in a typical Scream movie, you go have the next 4 or 5 scenes. Then there's like another killing that's like just another rando.
Mm-hmm.
This was, they go home and they're attacked right away. Like they're walking into their house and Ghostface is coming down from the attic. Dude, that was amazing.
That was great.
That was awesome.
And then Stu and her husband like teaming up to kill the Ghostface, like them fighting.
That was a great sequence.
Kicking the knife to him and all that stuff.
That was amazing. It's one of my favorite sequences of the whole film, I think.
And then, of course, Ghostface gets pushed into the road.
And then Gale runs him over with the car.
And this is at the moment where Gale just hits him. And in my head, I'm thinking, oh, are we going to do something completely different to now we go and tell Gale's story of how we got here?
That's
And to who this is. That didn't happen, but I was like, this could get really interesting. But they just went, and they're like, who is this guy?
Yeah. Well, and in my theater, when he got hit, you could feel the audience was like, and then
awesome.
Gale comes out, people stood and cheered.
Really?
Oh, that's
my
great.
God, it was so good. Oh, that was just like, that's like probably best Scream in theater experience like I've ever had. And granted, it was like the opening night and it was like called like the fan event and stuff like that. And like, so everybody, like there were so many kids in the theater, and I noticed there were two young kids
in the theater.
Yeah. But like last night there was like, I'd say like, I don't know, like at least like a fifth of the audience was like 12-year-olds, which is fine.
Yeah,
but
kids need to watch horror movies. Parents, make them watch horror movies.
I think I sent you a photo of a kid standing next to the big giant Screams like knife thing, and he's just there with his little blankie.
Yeah,
he's like all cuddled up, and his mom's taking his picture.
I was disappointed that like when I went up to we got our popcorn, they had sold like the last of the Scream merchandise. I'm like, God dang it!
Oh, and what's funny about that is, as I was buying my popcorn, the manager was trying to sell me the cup. She said, "This is our last cup," and you guys were walking in. And it was funny because I said, "No, like my friends who are coming in later, they want it."
So someone bought it.
Yeah, that's too bad.
The two or three people in
So this thought just came to me: is this the first time that Gale did not fight a Ghostface?
Yes. Well, I mean, technically she ran one over with her car, but she's
not like a chase or a fight.
She didn't fight them. She didn't kill them.
She was a talking head.
Because we were talking about this when we were going, how like her and Sydney tag team several kills in this series.
They're both final girls.
She also, and I've seen people complain about this in reviews, Gale disappears for a certain point. And to me, watching it, like after that interview, Gale just completely disappears until the very end. And to me, it felt like okay, well, we only have her for 11 days.
Yeah.
So, we had to like not write her in.
Well, and I think they're also like playing up. She's got a lot of problems.
Yeah. And that was interesting. Yeah.
Her arm's messed up. She's got to probably she's probably taking pain medication or depression medicine.
That's why she's like super sad, obviously. Yeah. But that's why I was like, I want the next movie to be about Gale. And Kevin Williamson in recent interviews has said his goal for his last, when he was doing the trilogy for 4, 5, 6, he said the last film was always going to be Gale's movie. So I'd love it if he's like still maybe planning.
That would be cool.
Yeah. And it doesn't have to be like, even if it's like Scream 3, where Gale was in that movie more than Sydney, like something like that.
Yeah. One thing that I'll go back on and I'll eat my words on is I had said that I thought Joel McHale was such a wild
pick. He was good.
And I enjoyed him. In the film, he was amazing. Yeah. He did a really good job. I believed him. His action was cool. I'm glad that he got the Dewey survival thing at the end. Because I think, correct me if I'm wrong, but we were all like, Joe McHale, really?
Yeah, we were. We're like, that's so odd.
He completely nailed it out of the park for his role.
And I thought they did great as they had a good relationship, like the chemistry between them, and he kicked ass.
Yeah, I'm a fan of his.
Me too. Just,
it was a sad thing of like not getting Patrick Dempsey.
Yeah.
And who knows like if that was a contract thing or if they even like approached him or whatever it was like. But no, he was so cool. And like all the stuff between him and Sydney, like you felt like when they were fighting together, you felt like they had gone through some stuff. And like they were like a strong team. I think that was just a really good like representation of their relationship.
Yeah. No, I agree.
Definitely. Yeah. And I like the mother and daughter aspect of that. I like that. The whole plot line of, you know, she never really talks about that stuff with her kid.
Yeah.
And then she has to trial by fire.
Right.
And that's how that was.
It is one thing, like, trying to protect your kids from the stuff, especially now. I'm sure, like, having her daughter grow up, and then now she is the same age when it started, really messes with her head, too.
Yeah.
Just from how trauma works, you know, like, that would be hard to have to.
Yeah.
Well, they gave her a good arc because she could barely play a dog in the beginning of
the movie. That's true.
Correct.
And I had two thoughts of that. When that happened, when I saw it with my wife the first time, they're doing the scene where McKenna Grace is like the fairy and she's flying over, and then Sydney's daughter, Tatum, like falls down the stairs. I just leaned over to my wife and said, what the hell kind of play are they putting on?
Right? That's it. Yeah. And the director's like, you're Sidney fucking Prescott's daughter. Where she's a dog for like 2 seconds.
She's a dog in like what? Like at first I was like, is this supposed to be Peter Pan?
That's what I thought it was. Peter Pan, but it was not Peter Pan.
In Scream 2, there was a whole thing of like, it was the story of, what's her name? Cassandra.
Right.
Yeah, and it was like so tied into like the theme of Scream 2. I was like, how is
now,
this?
Now we got a deep dive to see if this is actually a play.
And I thought it was so ridiculous while I was watching it. I was just like, this is stupid. Like, she's a dog.
Yeah.
She's a dog. And then like last night I was like, oh, I was thinking about the plays we put on in my like high school. And I was like, oh yeah, no, that's like perfect. That's actually like kind of
that
perfect.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And this one too was the one I think we talked about where, what if it was just people that weren't related to anybody for any reason? And that's what we got. We got there was no ties to the past.
Yeah.
No actual bloodline connections.
Yeah.
Just
crazy,
psychos.
Crazy fans, basically.
Yeah. I mean, I guess this and Scream 5 were the only where they were just fans.
Yeah.
Because other ones had blood ties every time.
Well, Scream 6 was revenge for 5.
Well, but I guess it's blood ties through.
But it's still, but blood,
it's still
ties
blood ties
through.
Yeah.
And technically still 5 brought you Billy Loomis's daughter, and there was still ties to the past.
Yeah, okay. Yeah,
so this is truly the only one that has zero ties to the past. It's just about Sidney.
Yeah.
And so who she is as a person.
So that's just funny to me in the sense of like, the second they knew they were going to have Neve Campbell back, they were like, let's have the person just be pissed that Sidney wasn't in Scream 6.
Yeah, that's basically the whole
point. Yeah.
Yeah.
But then make it a little convoluted than that. Yeah. I mean, that's essentially what it is.
Yeah.
But.
I really do think that this has probably the best action and stunt work of the films. I'd have to watch them again.
It's just like brutal. It's not as like. It's not as like technical, like Gale in the sound booth from 2, or like, I don't think there's like, or the ladder scene.
Yeah.
It's not that, but it's just like relentless. It's just like a chase that goes on all the
scrappy.
Time.
It is.
And there's like, there's some weird like logical flaws. There's things where like people turn and people aren't there and then they turn.
Yeah.
So there's that kind of stuff, but I kind of forgive it for just being like, there's like a whole like cat and mouse like chase between Tatum and Ghostface just like in the town.
Yeah.
You know, and even though there's some cheesy little like shots and stuff in it, like I was just kind of along for it the whole time because it was just kind of like relentless.
Yeah. Well, what I was trying to tell you in theater was her boyfriend, Ben, looks a lot like Trevor, who is Jill's boyfriend in 4, but with blonde fucking like, it was like Trevor, but they frost tipped him.
Oh, when I heard the word Trevor, I went to Wonder Man, and I'm like, why are you talking about Ben Kingsley?
Oh, not that Trevor.
I'm like, no, just keep watching.
Spoiler alert, I haven't watched Wonder
Man. What did you think of the opening?
I thought the opening was great. It didn't involve phones the whole time.
It didn't.
So I was excited about that. Even though we saw basically the whole thing.
In the trailer, right?
In the trailer, there was just great shots where Ghostface just kind of appears in the background, then disappears.
Mm.
And they always have the Ghostface statue in the background, but at some point there's like a swap.
Mm-hmm.
So like watching it the second time, I was waiting for the swap and I didn't quite see it.
Mm-hmm.
But it was like the two actors were great. I've seen
the guy and I can't remember where I've seen him before. But
the girl she's in Landman.
Oh, okay.
Show. Yeah. That's all I've seen her in.
But I really liked the when he rolls over gets her.
Yeah.
But then he sets her on fire.
Oh,
he fucking sets her on fire, and that's brutal. Like that is another like we've never had them. Yeah. They stab him and move. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like
so here's a question. Maybe it was explained. Why did they do that? Why did the killers go to that house and kill them and burn it down? Was it just to get Gale back into the town?
Well, I don't know if they would have wanted her in the town. I think it was just signaling that it could be connected to Stu, although no one on screen ever says, oh, it might be Stu because he burned his house down.
I got it.
I'm just like projecting that.
But they never really said a reason why they did that.
No.
No one on screen ties it to Stu Mocker, but at one point a cop goes up to Joel McHale and says, hey, we just got a call from Woodsboro. Stu Mocker's house burned down.
So it's just another way to push the Stu. Yeah.
Push the Stu stuff and then also trigger like, oh, if Stu's house burned down and people are dead, like
yeah.
Yeah. Is something coming?
It started again.
It started again.
Yeah.
One of the moments that I liked so much is when they first meet Ethan Embry, and they're talking to him about Carl, and then they're like, "Have you seen this guy?" And right away he's like, "Oh, that's John." I was like, "Wait a minute, maybe Stu is alive."
Because I completely thought he's like, "That's John. He was a guy who was here who lost his mind." So then I was like, "Oh, so he's just out there."
Yeah. Well, and I think that's, and I was for the longest time, I've been the person who's been questioning whether or not Kevin Williamson could direct a Scream movie, just because he hasn't directed a ton of movies. The one movie that he had directed that I saw, Teaching Mrs. Tingle, I thought was like really bland or whatever. But the dude's obviously like been around Hollywood for 35 years or whatever. I thought like those little moments like that where the dude like right away is like, "Oh yeah, that's John," because it's directing moments like that really like exceeded my expectations. Cause I feel like if Wes Craven did that shot, he would have like, Ethan Embry, like, you know, look one way, look the other, and then say, "Oh yeah, I know that guy. I think he went by the name John." But the fact that like right away is just like, "Oh yeah, that's John."
Yeah.
Like just, it sold that moment.
It did.
It made me believe that Stu was alive in my heart.
It did give you a little hope. You're like, "Oh wait, really? Is he?
Yeah.
Is it John?"
Yeah. I'd say it was just my biggest complaints then were the killer reveals, I think, for me, and motive.
Yeah.
It's weak. I think there's no way around it. Like even watching it a second time, like I don't think they gave Anna Camp's character, Jessica, I don't think they gave her enough. She has one scene where she's like drinking coffee with Sydney.
Yeah.
And that kind of establishes something, but she's a little too like Debbie Salt Wild in other scenes.
Yeah.
Where she's like, "Stay away from that house until this is over."
I don't like the way you're looking at my son.
Well, then there's a part in my head, you know, where you're watching these movies and you're like, "Okay, so who isn't here in this scene that could be the killer?" Yeah. And then I'm like, when her son dies, like, "Okay, there's no way it's not her now."
Yeah.
Because she just, that kill was cool.
At the very beginning, I was like, "Where the hell is Carl?"
When they put his head on the beer tap and then the beer comes out.
Beer comes out his mouth.
Yeah, that was hilarious. Yeah. Yeah.
What were your guys' favorite kill from the movie?
Okay.
I know my number one and the number two. My number one kill is the double gunshot face to the ending lady.
Yeah. Okay.
And you got to shoot him in the head and they unloaded their clips to where she had no face left.
Yes.
My second favorite is the one I just said where she puts his head on the beer tap and then beer comes out, because I did something similar with a beer can. Which is really fun to see.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess mine, if this counts, is it's when Ghostface gets killed by Gale. Because the way they did it was like, I mean, he gets smacked like Final Destination smack.
Yeah, that was cool.
But, and part of what I'm thinking is like, "Oh, okay, how's he going to get away from this one?" And then the next shot is him like rolling under the car three times.
Yeah.
and then it was almost like, and then they cut away and I'm just like, "Hey, he's not going to get up."
No, busy.
Because they always do the thing where they come back and they say, "He ran away."
Yeah.
Like that surprised me.
Yeah.
I'm like, he's dead. And then they looked up like, "Who the fuck is this guy?"
Yeah. Well, that's Carl.
Yeah. I would say I loved the, I really did like the drop from in the beginning, the chandelier one, and then just rolling over and being like, "Oh."
Yeah. And then burning her alive.
But I would say probably my favorite, I liked the McKenna Grace one.
That one was good. That was really good.
Fun.
There's so many good ones. Yeah.
And then he gutted her, which, you know, I like a good gutting.
You really saw the splash of those guts.
Yes.
Yeah. That was like the, "Oh, okay, like they're not going to hold back."
Yeah.
This isn't trying to be PG-13.
And then I would say the beer tap one. That was pretty great.
Oh, yeah. Nobody picked the gunshot to the face one, but me.
That was great. But the one that would probably stick in my head the most is the chandelier one, actually.
Cool. Nice. Well, yeah. Where does Scream go from here? I don't know. Do you know if this is doing well? Do you know? I haven't read anything.
Tracking for the biggest Scream opening.
Oh, wow.
They put out like I never follow Rotten Tomatoes stuff.
Yeah.
But the Rotten Tomatoes score is like lower. There's people like, again, everything I see online, like on like Reddit and stuff like that, it's all just like screw Paramount for this, you know, blah, blah, blah. I know they're trying to buy Warner Brothers.
And there were like like the Palestine protests, yeah, the red carpet, I heard.
There
or
was
something.
Palestine protests. And it's like, and I get there will be people who will watch this and like, and say, like, you know, they didn't like certain aspects of it. Mm-hmm. And I feel like there's a lot of people who are just going to like not like the ending. You know, I think that's going to be its like legacy is like, oh, that's the one with kind of the killers that, you know, had a real motive. But it looks like it's going to open to the biggest Scream box office debut. And we'll see what happens after that. It had been rumored for a while that Scream 8 is already going to happen, but
it's at a 6.1 on IMDb.
Well, and IMDb is like, IMDb is always hard because usually everything's about a 6 to a 7. If you look up like, I don't know, look up any like popular movie and it's probably at a 7.4.
Yeah. So this is interesting. This is just, I just pulled up.
It is getting review bombed on Rotten Tomatoes too. Mm-hmm. It's getting review bombed on a lot of things because of like Palestine and but the Melissa Barrera thing tied to Palestine comments. And
right. So this is an actual thing that's in production. It's called Scream Lives.
Sure, that's fake. I mean,
writers by Kevin Williamson, stars Matthew.
If you want, you can just make your own thing called Scream Dies, okay, and it'll be on.
Gotcha. Yeah.
I mean, that could be. It could be a like that could be a behind the scenes video thing that someone put there. It's like a featurette, like a 30-minute featurette that's going to air on HBO.
Gotcha. Yeah. Okay.
So, what do you think will if there is an 8, what do we get?
I want Stu back for real. I want him alive, and I want a Gale story.
Yeah.
I don't know what I want because I want, like, I really want
Scream Ventures with all the people.
Tara and I always forget
Sam.
Tara and Sam's story to have been wrapped up. I don't know if that'll ever happen because I really wanted to see that come together. That's probably not where they're going to go.
Yeah.
How much more can you do with Sid now?
Yeah. Like, say that.
Right? I don't know. I don't know what I want with an 8. I want more, but I guess I don't know what I want now. I really wanted Stu back. That's the thing. Like, I really wanted that other killer to be Stu. So I want one where Stu's just fucking back. Maybe someone's tracking him down. And I work with a Gale movie. They're just on the case tracking down Stu and they find him.
Yeah.
I don't know.
That would
work.
He's
just working in a soup kitchen somewhere, and he's turning his life around.
And, yeah. Yeah. What if he wasn't? What if he wasn't lying? What if he was a John Doe? And and he is out there.
Yeah. I don't know. Huh? I mean, yeah, they could kind of go anywhere with it. I mean, who would have thought after we saw Scream 6 that this is what we got for Scream 7?
Right.
Yeah.
This
no
is
way.
True.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Neve Campbell's back and starring.
And she's, you know, I think she's kind of got Paramount by the balls, which in a good way, because everybody demanded her back. She came back. She got a giant paycheck. It was reported she got $7 million for this one.
Damn.
And good for her. And and she's a producer and she's been doing so much promo. And when she does her promo, it's great to see her. Like, she's like in charge. Like, she's like the voice of it. Cause another thing they did, and this was my favorite thing about it, is we only got one theatrical trailer out of this.
Yeah.
We got some other TV spots, but all those TV spots basically used the same stuff.
Yeah.
We never saw half the cast.
Yeah.
We never saw any other plot points aside from house burned down, Sydney's daughter's stuck in the wall with Sydney.
Shoot her through the wall.
I think it would have gave away too much thinking about it. Like, you could have you could have made me show more interaction with the kids. You could have showed the play.
Yeah.
But
oh God, please show us the play.
Yeah.
Right? I just want to see the whole play.
I mean, if you're going by template, well, if they continue this storyline, the next one is her daughter's in college.
Yeah.
Much like how 5 did the same thing. Well, now they're in college.
Are we
going to follow
just
that
follow
template?
Her. It's just in their bloodline. It's just they're just going to be followed by psycho killers no matter what for the rest of their lives.
I'll be honest, and this isn't a strong opinion. I didn't really like her daughter's nothing special. Like, her daughter was good. I'm not itching to see another Tatum.
What happens to Tatum next?
I think she was good and everything in the movie, but like right now it's like I kind of just want legacy stuff again.
Yeah.
And they said and they talk about like this film's all about nostalgia. That was like Mindy's like speech
yeah.
for, you know, this one.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was the most like against like a Sydney movie like beforehand. I hated Scream 7. I ranked Scream 7
you did.
Last. No, like bring it on.
Yeah. More Scream. Like go watch it so we can keep getting more.
Right. I want more of the twins too. I love those two. Yeah. They're hilarious. I thought it was funny and they're in the barn like, God, I don't want to get stabbed again.
Yeah. I feel like this film and the last film, like I think Gail kind of got the short end of the stick in a lot of ways. The last, like in Scream 6 specifically, like she kind of just shows up. They kind of do some weird, there was some weird character stuff in Scream 6 where she still wrote a book anyways.
Right.
Like that was disappointing after like how endearing she was in Scream 5. And then like in this one, she kind of just shows up, does the interview and then kind of pisses Sydney off. Like, I don't know.
Kind of reel it back with, you know, her talking about Dewey.
And
like, how would you feel? And then she, you know, had a little heartfelt moment. Yeah. And then you saw her in physical pain, in mental anguish.
Yeah.
So you get some sympathy from her.
Yeah.
And why not have like a 65-year-old woman against Ghostface? Like,
yeah.
I mean, that like seriously, like I'm like gunning for like the Gale movie now or the Gale story.
Yeah.
I'm on board.
Well, and then just how Sydney realizes that like when she was like the only friend I ever trusted. Last one was Tatum.
Yeah.
And then realizing, well, Gail, regardless of their contentious relationship sometimes, because Gail is Gail, she's been there the whole time, helped her kill multiple ghost faces. And if she's going to trust anyone, it's going to be Gail.
Is there a world where we get all of them back together again? The Tara and Sam and Sid and Gail?
I mean, if you look at the...
Like, did the actors not like each other?
I haven't seen anything like that. I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think there's been any hints in the media that, like, Nev dislikes the other actors.
I think it was all business stuff, you know?
But people have been very vocal about Melissa's firing and online with fans, the tide turned more in her favor. And the same way after Scream 6, like when it was announced that Sydney wasn't going to be in Scream 6.
People were mad. Like,
everybody was pissed off. So if the reaction to Scream 6 got us Nev back, then maybe the reaction to Scream 7 will get us Tara and Sam back.
We'll get us Stu back.
Oh, God, right? No, well, I think everybody's going to walk out of this saying they love Matthew Lillard.
Yeah.
Well, he was great.
It was great, yeah.
Yeah. So I have a question for you. So in our theater, for some reason, the first trailer we got, and you were there, was for Black Phone 2 that came out last year, and then we got modern ones. And from what I understood was Scary Movie trailer was supposed to play.
Yeah.
Like, I wonder, did they get them flipped around? Did you get a Scary Movie trailer in your
theater? We got the Scary Movie trailer.
Did you get a Black Phone 2 trailer?
No, not at all. Okay.
No.
That was a fuck up.
The only thing, because, I mean, they have to, like, so physically... Someone has to like go to a computer board. All those are programmed in. Sometimes those are like pre-programmed, like from like the studio.
From the studio.
But mostly it's the person who has to select those. But the only thing I can think of is like it was like an old file that didn't get deleted.
Yeah.
They hit it.
Yeah.
We should actually talk to the theater because. I saw the trailer and I was like, is it coming back to theater?
Yeah, we're like, wait, are we seeing Scream?
Well, my first thought was, this is like just how the Scary Movie trailer intro is.
Oh, yeah.
They're making fun of Black Phone. But then I was like, oh, no, this is just a Black Phone. This is a fuck up. And then I saw like one of the theater people come in and watch this. And I think I saw her talk to someone behind her. Yeah. So they're like, what?
They're like, Kevin, you did it again. I know you. And Kevin's just like, I love Black Phone too. It's coming back.
That's awesome.
You need to demand it.
Well, do you want to see Kevin Williamson keep directing, or do you want another director? Who is supposed to be the director for the one before? It was Christopher
Landon.
Landon.
Yeah.
Way
back it was going to be Radio Silence.
Yeah.
And then it became Christopher Landon.
And now it was Kevin Williamson.
Yeah.
If say, Scream 8's ago, do you want him to direct it or do you want another director, younger, fresh take?
I mean, I'd welcome Kevin Williamson back. I'd be excited to see him do it again. I think
he did a really great job.
I think he did a great job.
He like knocked it out of the ballpark. Yeah.
And I think especially it does help with like Nev Campbell having a relationship with him all these years probably makes just makes it more comfortable on set with like, no, I trust you to make these choices. Yeah. I trust you to do this. that kind of thing.
Well, and she said this, I just saw this interview today. She said that she was the one who hired Kevin Williamson for it.
Oh, wow.
So she said, when I offered Kevin the job, we both cried and we talked about it because I knew he wanted to direct one of these for a long time. So she's in charge. Yeah, I mean, and good for her.
Yeah, she should be.
She's Cindy Prescott.
Yeah, right? so she's starring in part eight.
Yeah.
Yeah, we got to keep these going.
I mean, you know, it would be weird for her. Like, she tried to disappear more than once.
Yeah.
And every time it doesn't happen. Like, something, then a killer comes out and fucking tries to kill her again.
Yeah.
So, like, do you stay hidden again? Do you just be like, yes, I'm Cindy fucking Prescott. Yeah. Come at me, please. Yeah. I will kill you every single time.
No, but I imagine she goes back to work at the coffee shop and goes about her day.
The kids come home from grandma's. Like, it's
Other two kids, like.
Well, I mean, this really opens an entirely new fear of, like, okay, so now just randos can come at me.
Yeah.
And I mean, I think that's even worse. That, I mean, again, that's why I think, like, you could do a Gale-centric story. Like, Sydney could still be a big part of it, but it's like, you could frame it all around, like, Gale. Yeah. Maybe someone's coming after Gale this time, and Sydney and Mark come in, and then Tatum's there, and they do their back-to-back gun thing, where they're swinging the guns around. That's like a awesome John Woo movie. That was full-on John Woo.
Yeah.
Were you disappointed that some of our predictions weren't there? Were you disappointed that we didn't get, like, a flashback sequence that we'd all kind of talked about, we thought might have been cool?
I think the way the final sequence with the AI going through the house, so Sydney goes into the house and then all the TVs come on.
Yeah.
So the first time I watched it, I was kind of excited to see who's popping up. Like, oh my gosh, who could be next? This time I watched it, all I could think about is, like, do you know how hard it is to, like, connect your Apple TV to, like, TV? let alone
who's in the house turning them on and off? Yeah.
Let alone have a universal Ethan remote Embry's for just multiple that. Monitors.
Ethan Embry is in the back.
Yeah.
And she's the one. Yeah.
That's literally,
I mean, he did work for Google at one point.
Yeah.
Is that what he said?
That's what he said.
Yeah. I worked for Google.
Yeah. I used to work for Google before I became someone of this.
Doesn't mean he's good at audio video, like, in, like, within a home space. But
worked at Google, and now he's at a psychiatric as a nurse.
Yeah. I don't like the look of the, like, it was almost like virtual Stu's house.
Yeah. That was weird.
It looked like a late 90s CD game, like Myst or something, where it's like, it turns over and there's a wizard in his robe and he's like, come, traveler, I've seen you come from afar. Like, and I get that, like, they, I don't know, when they were making that, they probably knew, like, you know,
that's what they were doing. That.
But it's funny how, like, they have a whole scene where they're like, wow, this deepfake is really good. I don't even know if I can tell. Look at the shadows and stuff. And then it's like they get to that reveal and it's like so cheesy.
Yeah.
I like that they aged up the actors. Like, they had to age up Stu for the storyline.
Yes.
Yeah.
But the fact that everybody else was aged up, it was kind of like, well, why? Like,
yeah.
I thought that too. Like, why do we have Debbie Saul that's 70 years old? Like, why didn't you just fucking de-age her?
Yeah.
If you're going to go that way, why do you have Roman in his 50s?
Well, they ran out of money.
Yeah, Roman still looked good. And I think it probably was honorable to the actors to just say, like, hey, you know, you're
want
to
come in there and do it. Yeah. I mean, really what that going through the house thing reminded me of was like a DVD, like, menu. Like, when you push it in, it goes through the room and then goes, press play, go into that room and you can watch behind the scene features.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which hopefully they do that with the Blu-ray release. That's how it is.
Roman's there just like introducing.
Yeah.
If you want to have the director's commentary, press this button.
Well, I think either Kevin Williamson or we should direct the next Scream movie.
I'd be up for it.
Yeah.
Yeah, we could do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We would just bring Stu back, and it's just Stu the whole time.
Yeah.
All Stu.
All Stu long. All day.
I was disappointed that there was no Cotton connection. The heart of my hearts, I wanted Cotton, a Cotton Weary connection.
Yeah.
One thing I told you guys, like, what if they show the kill of Cotton, Scream 3, and then we hear a baby cry, and it pans, and Ghostface goes to a crib, and there's a little baby reaching
and
up
for his.
And
there's a 50% Cotton in there.
Yeah, oh, yeah, yeah. Well, and history has told us that production of Scream movies is hectic.
Yeah.
So who knows what's going to happen?
Like, it's true.
You know, anything could happen. There could be all sorts of pay disputes. There could be different things. There could be rights issues.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know now. The only Scream movie that really seemed like it was like a guarantee was Scream 6, I guess. I don't know. Like,
yeah.
Because that Scream 5 happened, and then they announced Scream 6 right away.
So when do you think we'd get a next one? Do you think we're going to get one in a year? Or is it going to be a couple years like this? Or do you think now it's going to be some time before we get one?
You know, the momentum of like it's doing well at the box office, unless there's like a major drop off because of like review bombing and stuff like that, like that sadly become like a real thing.
Yeah.
Like that could slow things down. But I don't think with like a giant box office weekend, they don't at least like green light it.
Yeah.
Whether or not that movie comes out soon.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, Kevin Williamson will probably want a big pay bump.
Yeah.
I don't know if he got a multiple picture deal for this. I don't know if Sydney or, you know, Neve Campbell got one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Who knows?
Cool. Well, we all liked it.
We did.
We all were entertained.
Always entertained.
I want to see it a second time to see if my score changes.
I do too.
7 is not bad.
No. Yeah. And 8's not bad. I just feel like you said, like the watching ending. It a second time, you get a different, you get more out of it.
So. I think the ending's always going to be
the ending,
pretty convoluted, but I mean, watching it again, I was more entertained by the ending.
Yeah. Okay.
And overall, I think it was more entertaining even a second time. So I think it held up.
Really okay. Cool. Called the killers again. That was me.
I did. Yeah,
there we go. I called one.
You did.
I thought she would be like Stu's sister or something, but.
Well,
I was really hoping you'd be wrong at least for once. only for your own, because the next time you're automatically just going to assume you're right.
Yeah, like I do want to be wrong. I didn't get the motive, so that's good.
Yeah.
And part 6, I was like, well, this is going to be the motive. And this one, I had no idea, and still kind of don't. Yeah. Well, anything else?
Any final thoughts?
Get going here.
Huh? No?
Yeah. Oh, gosh, I don't know. There's probably some. There's probably.
I'm sure there is. We'll turn it off and we'll be like, oh,
we forgot to talk about this.
Yeah.
All right.
Well,
our Bloody Marys are dead.
So are we. Thanks, Sean.
Thanks, Sean, for
creeping
stopping
in the theater.
By.
I'll see you sometime in about a year when we get a Scream 8 trailer. Baby.
Yeah. All right. What did you think of Scream 7?
Yeah.
You like it. Where does it rank in the franchise with you? Do you agree with us? Disagree? Let us know in the comments.
Yep.
Cool. All right.
All right. Bye-bye. Later.